Let's open it with a prayer, yeah? Our Father God, we love you and we're so thankful, Lord. And we so thank you, Lord. Lord, for your presence, Lord. For you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have you and you have us, Lord. And we're so thankful, Lord, for the great gift, Lord, you're providing for us. The great salvation, you, Lord, you're providing for us. In the name of your beloved Son, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord God, thank you for your word. Please, Lord, bless your word. Lord, bless your word. Your word go forth. And I pray your holy name, Jesus. Amen. So, today we are studying a part of Paul's letter to the Romans, one of the strong awareness in the Bible against the religious self-deceptions. First two chapters, Paul clearly proves that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppose the truth in unrighteousness. Chapter 1, verse 18. First, he condemned the Gentiles who know God through creation but did not worship him as God. Then in chapter 2, he turns to those who judge others and warns that they condemn themselves. Because in verse 11 says, chapter 2, verse 11 says, for there is no partiality with God. Amen. So now Paul turned directly to his primary audience, the Jews, who took pride in having the law and the covenant with God. The verses that we read are not a merely theological discussions about the Jewish people. They are a spiritual mirror in which every believer in every generation must see himself. These verses confront us with a searching question, the big question for today. Are you a Christian who boasts in the name of Jesus Christ, yet lives in a way that denies that very name? Indeed, these verses invite us to discover the true meaning of faith, covenant, and being God's people in His sight. My brothers and my sisters, the Apostle Paul teaches us that our true identity is not rooted in outward signs, nor in intellectual knowledge, doesn't matter how much you know about the Bible, but in deep inward work of the Holy Spirit within our heart. Amen? That's the main point, the main heart of this passage we read from Romans chapter 2. So, as we see it, in this part, Paul uses strong irony to speak about the things that Jewish believe made them better than Gentiles. For example, they believe, the verses says, in verse 17 says, indeed you are called a Jewish. They all believe we are Jewish. This refers to bring the name of God chosen people, a sign of divine election. And another one, and rest on the law. We have the law of God. The God give us the law. 3 million Jewish people saw God in the wilderness and received the Ten Commandments from God. This is a Jewish people claim. This point to possess the word of God, the Torah, the revealed word. And know his will. They speak of the deep awareness of the God purpose and desire covenant knowledge. And the fourth point is very important. And an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes. You see yourself as a leader, guidance and light to those who are in darkness. They were not a small privilege. They were the heritage of Abraham and Moses. But Paul now asks the person's questions. Is salvation guaranteed just by possessing this privilege? Because you have this point, because you have this privilege, which is the meaning, you all have a salvation? Or does having this advantage guarantees protection from the wrath of God, judgment? Because we are Jewish, because we have a Torah, because another thing, because we know the will of God. This is the meaning, you are saved from the wrath of God by knowing this one. My brothers and my sisters, Today, believers hold the same position under the new covenant. I don't want to say we are, as Christians, like some churches believe, the replacement theology. They believe the Christian replace, no more Jewish anymore, just a Christian. No, I don't want to say like that. But I want to say we are, as a Christian, because we have the new covenant, we are, as a Christian, we are in the same position as the Jewish people to God. And then we come into that. We take pride in being called Christians. We are Christians. We are saved, yeah? So we've got a pride. Amen. It's a good pride. And having the Bible, and then we know about the God's grace. We got a Bible, and then we are Christian, and we know the God's grace. We say that we are light of the world, and that we must shine in the darkness around us. This is a point we are claiming today. Which is Jewish people claim. Jewish people claim that point, and that we all claim this point today. Amen? It's not much different. But what's the point? If these claims are not true in our lives, they become empty supporters. Just a claim. No work on it. Not do it. The Bible says in the book of James, the faith without work is empty faith. But if these claims are not true in our life, they become empty supporters. And we are built our faith on sands, not on the rock. In other words, we can fall into the very same deceptions and hypocrisy as those Jewish. And in reality, we also stand under the same sharp questions and the rebuke of the Apostle Paul. Yes, the question is, you therefore who teach others, do you not teach yourselves? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through break the law? If we not standing on our faith, if we not practice which is we believe, actually, same question will come in on us as well. It's a reality. How painful these questions are for preachers. That's why I'm saying, when I prepared this message, the first person actually getting convicted, this passage, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. What a very painful questions Apostle Paul mentions. How painful these questions are for preachers, for ministers, and for every believer who proclaim the knowledge of the gospel to others. Friends, the problem of the Jewish was not ignorance. Their problem was the denial of obedience. They know, but the denial. They look into the law, but did not see themselves in it. Or if they did, they ignored that the image through the existed making and self-justification. That's why when Jesus came, we see in the Gospel, for example, in Gospel Luke, in Gospel Matthew, we see how much Jesus rebuked Pharisees. In the Gospel of Luke, we can see, actually we have the Bible study, I think the last week or 2 weeks ago, in the Gospel of Luke chapter, I think the 11 was the 12. And Jesus says, woe unto you, Pharisees, woe unto you, scribes, woe unto you, woe unto you. Jesus rebuked them. Why Jesus rebuked them? Because they know the will of God, because they read the will of God, because they are actually teaching the will of God to the people, but they are not practicing it. That's a point the Apostle Paul mentioned here. I want to give you an illustration here. It's a good illustration, yeah? I want to give you an illustration here. Imagine a person who has spent his entire life studying the maps of the great treasure. He knows every line. He knows every symbol and every secret code on those maps. See? He knows everything. Perfect about the map. They have it. He tells everyone that this map is not the best and only path to true wealth. If you go in to follow this map, you will find the big treasure. He knows very well. He was a good teacher. Like he was a good guide. Again. Yet, he himself never take a single step on the journey to find the treasure. He owns the map, but the treasure is still lost to him. That's the illustration. We have the Bible. Actually, the Pharisees have the Bible. And they know very well the details by details. But they couldn't find the treasure in the Bible. That's why when Jesus came to the Pharisees, he says, you have the Bible, you have the Word of God, but you don't know what's the will of God in it. Because this Word testifies of me. That's why they crucified Christ. In the same way, we can boast in the map of salvation, but if we never walk in the path, we are rich in theory, but bankrupt in reality. This is why the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And the Lord says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who said to me, Lord, Lord, shall into the kingdom of heaven, but he who shall does the will of my Father in heaven. James 1 verse 22 says, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Dear friends, a Christian cannot live like, what's the word, amphibious? You know amphibious? Amphibious? Like a frog. The frog can live on earth?
Amphibious.
Thank you. Christian cannot live, or cannot be like an amphibians. In other words, they cannot live a double life. One life inside the church, and other life outside the church. On Sunday, they have the Bible in their hands inside the church, but on other days of the week, they live in completely different way. This is where God's word speaks with strong awareness. What's a strong awareness? For the name of God is blasphemy among the Gentiles because of who? You! They're living like amphibians. That's what Jesus said. It is written. Actually, the Bible mentioned to the Pharisee people. And unfortunately, some of our brothers and sisters may be like that. When a Jew broke the law, it acted more than just himself. It impacted how the world saw God. When the chosen people of God, who were meant to be light of the world, live like idol worshiper, the Gentiles would say, if your God is so powerful, why do his worshippers live like this? And this is the way the holy name Yeshua was mocked and dishonored. A direct appeal to today's church, exactly same as today. The Bible says we are ambassadors of Christ. Amen? Which is the Bible say? The Romans says we are ambassadors of Christ. Our lives are the open letter of the Gospels. When the people see us, they must see Jesus in us. It's a must. It's not a will. It's not a have to. When the people saw the Christians, they must see Jesus in them life. That's why Jesus says, you are salt of the world. You are light of the world. If your soul, the lust that tests is, what are doing people with the soul? Just put it in the ground. They're not useful anymore. When we boast in the name of Jesus Christ, yet live with lying, cheating, slander, or hatred, we are in reality dishonor the Gospels. And we cause the world to say, if your Christ is so good, why you are so much like us? This is a great tragedy of our faith. And the second point of the message of today is the futility of outward signs. Another important issue the Apostle Paul addresses is this matter of circumcision, which was extremely significant and sacred for the Jewish. Circumcision was a physical sign of God's covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapter 17. If you read it, you will see God made the covenant with Abraham through the circumcision. It was a mark of honor that set the Jewish apart from the Gentiles. But let's see what Paul says in verse 25. Apostle Paul says, for circumcision is deemed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are break of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. If you keep the law, your circumcision is profitable. There is a powerful truth in these verses. The truth is, the signs of the covenant cannot replace obedience to the covenant. Amen? That's the truth. The signs of the covenant. What is the signs of the covenant for us today? Anyone know? Anyone guess?
Cross.
Sorry?
Walking around with a cross.
Amen, amen. Yeah, then the outward sign. Baptism. Baptism is the outward sign of the covenant for us. Like a circumcision for Jewish people. I'll come into that. Yeah? So, circumcision, like any outward sign in Christianity, such as a baptism, is like a uniform. It's like a uniform. A uniform shows which army, a school, or organization you belong to. But if a soldier wears the military uniform, yet fails to perform his duty, but instead serves the enemy, the uniform is not only worthless, it actually increases his punishment. Do you know, that's why the punishment for the soldiers is higher, is more than a normal person. Just imagine, for example, in Australia, in army, yeah? If the army finds some spy, or one spy in army, his punishment is more than a normal person be as a spy. Because he got a uniform of the army. Actually, he owed, I'm going to protect this country. He's owed to the people. You know, I'm a soldier. But he's working for the enemy. And the baptism for us is like that. Our baptism is a sign that declares that we have died and raised with Christ. But if after baptism we continue to live in our sins and the keep witnesses the old man, that the water has neither saved us nor changed us. On outward signs without inward reality is powerless. Actually, I know that because I came from the Islamic background, and I know many Muslim people when come to Christ, when come to Jesus, they are thinking when getting baptized, they getting saved, they getting changed, or something like that. But that's not the truth. That's not the truth. The baptism is a sign. The baptism is not the source of salvation. The source of salvation, the source of our changing is Jesus Christ only. And His Holy Spirit. His power only can save us, can change us. That's a baptism. Baptism is just a uniform. The uniform, and the people, when the people look at me, the people see, oh, you are the soldier of Christ. That's only the signs of the baptism. Amen? That's why the Apostle Paul says in Romans 26 says, therefore, if an uncircumcised man keep the righteousness requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcisions be contained at circumcision? This is a great paradox. A person who does not have a religious privilege, yet does possess moral reality, is accepted by God. And these Gentiles who live in obedience will judge the one who has all the privilege, the law and circumcision, but breaks the law. In verse 27 says, and will not physically circumcise, if he fulfills the law, judge you, who even with you, with your written code and circumcisions are transgressions of the law. This is the argument revealed one of the hardest truths in the Jewish of the time, God. God is never limited to the Torah systems or ethic boundaries. Even though the law was given to the Jewish, God can please His moral truth in the consciousness of every human heart, even more, even among the Gentiles. This is the shows that salvation has never been privileged based on race or outward sign. It has always been universal matter based on responsive heart and the practical obedience. We see in the Bible, Gentiles, yeah, like Ruth, she was a Moabian, Rahab, she was a harlot. She was belonged to another country. She's not a Jewish. Nehemiah, the Syria, commander of enemy army of Israel, Jonah and the people of Nineveh, and Cornelius, the Roman centurions, and the many others, we can see God saved them. God used them. My brother, my sisters, the will of God is not limited to the act or you came from the which nation or which country. No. This is a great picture in Old Testament to show us the salvation is for all people. God wants all people getting saved. God used the Jewish only as a tool to introduce himself to the world. That's why the many people say, why God chose Israel? Why God chose the Jewish people? Only for this reason. God chose a narrative as a small nation, a very weak nation, to show himself to all the world, showing his power, show his glory, show his authority to the other people. And praise God and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. For this very reason, Paul declared in verse 28 and 29, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor in circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. Amen? Actually, I would like to change the Jewish name to believers. He is a believer, yeah, who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, who praise is not from man, but from God. Here the word of God writers the defining meaning of God's people, a definition that no longer resists on outward conditions, but in the name of Jesus Christ rests on inward transformation. The outward requirement for the Jewish was a physical circumcision, but God now calls us to the circumcision of the heart. I personally know many Muslim people who fulfill the outward condition, circumcision. I know many Muslim people who fulfill the outward condition, yet do not have the circumcision of heart. So the question here, what is the circumcision of heart? What the Bible tries to tell us? My friend, the circumcision, the meaning of the circumcision, when God said, doing this, is it my covenant with Abraham, with the Israel people? The circumcision means just a take off some dirty things, you know. Take off some dirty things. That's a picture, that's a meaning. That's why the Muslim people or the Jewish people are doing circumcised. Just make the dirty things for the men. Okay, I don't want to come in it, yeah? But in the Old Testament, the circumcision of the heart meant cutting away and casting off stumblings, rebellions, and sinful desire from within the heart. It was an inner transformation that softened the human heart so that is the good response in obedience to God. That's the meaning, which is the Bible says circumcision in heart. Paul teaches that this transformation does not happen through human effort and to keep the law, but through the Spirit, which is the mainly Holy Spirit. This is a supernatural work. I would like to bring you one quote from the Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon says, a religion that does not change in the heart will never save the soul. Doesn't matter what kind of religion do you have. Doesn't matter what is your priest dresses. Doesn't matter what is the outward sign. But it still is religion. And religion cannot save the human soul. This is my testimony. I was a Muslim. I had religion as well. I did circumcision too. I believe God too as well. Because the Muslim people believe God. It's reality. They believe that Allah is God, yeah? I know that Allah is not a God, but they are thinking that Allah is God, yeah? But that not the main in my heart was circumcised. Because I see my heart was full of anger, lust, jealousy, selfishness, covetousness. But thank God for the great and the merciful salvation He provided for me in the name of His beloved Son, my Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Him, I have the Holy Spirit to show me what are not right in my life and they needed to be cutting off from my heart. Only that way, my friends, my brothers and my sisters, be able to have a circumcision of heart. The Holy Spirit will show you. That's why Galatians 5 says, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit will show you what is not right in your heart. And only He's able to cut in off that from your heart. Amen? In other words, God changing Akbar to Matthew. And He is still able to change anyone shall call the name of the Lord. And he or her shall be saved. My brothers and sisters, if we have fallen into the same sins as a Jewish, if we boast in our faith, yet our lives have brought dishonor to the name of Christ, then today is a day of repentance. Repentance means turning away from outward religion and returning to real, living inward relationship with God. So, let us now go together into the presence of the Lord and honestly confess where our claim have been greater than our obedience. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to soften our heart and remove our stumbling and hypocrisy from us. Let us allow Him to change us in secret. And from today on, let us no longer live for people's approval and appeals. Let us live in a way that every word and every action bring praise to God alone. Let us go into the God. Amen. Let's go into the God and we pray and ask Him, oh God, oh Lord, my Savior God. God, I confess as I'm a sinner, Lord. Lord, I don't have any pride in myself, Lord. I'm nothing, Lord. Please, Jesus. You cut in off my heart, Lord. You cleanse me, Lord. You take off anything is in my heart and not from your will, Lord. Jesus, I want to be like a dead person and standing outside the temple and just say, oh God, I'm a mercy. I'm a sinner. Have mercy unto me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.